Time for a look at Monday Real Estate. And this morning, special guest from CoreLogic, the man in charge. His name is Tim Lawless. You've probably heard Tim on the radio or seen him on telly a lot. There's not much he doesn't know about real estate. He's on the telephone now. G'day, buddy. Good to have you aboard.
Thanks for inviting me on your show, Luke.
That's an absolute pleasure. Look, just before you give us the weekend auction results, I'm really keen to see what's happened because it's going to be interesting between now and Christmas, isn't it, with this weather, this La Nina weather that's forecast. It's going to affect all capital cities at some point, and that affects auction attendance. But we'll talk about that in just a sec. I noticed that you were saying during the week that you believe that vendors looking to make a profit from the resale of their house, you reckon it's seen the peak, the market has peaked, it's come and gone. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We every quarter we publish a report called Pain and Gain, and it simply looks at resales of properties around the country and what proportion sold for a net profit, a gross profit, and what proportion sold for a gross loss. And it does look like through the March quarter we moved through a peak, and of course housing prices have been falling since May, so we did start to see profit making sales just coming down a little bit, but still they're coming virtually off record highs. So it's not surprising to see a smaller proportion of resales coming in at slightly lower than what they were purchased for.
And does this affect all our capital cities? Take us for a lap.
Well, it does, some more than others, for example. So here's a few examples. Sydney, through the June quarter, we saw 6.4% of all resales made a loss. Back in March, it was 4.9%. So we've seen roughly a two percentage point increase. Go to somewhere like, Brisbane, and it's the opposite. We actually saw a slight improvement or a lower number, a proportion of properties sold for a loss, 4.6% sold for a loss in June. Back in March, it was 5.3%. But of course, Brisbane's been quite the outstanding market, and it only really moved through its peak in around about July. So there's a lot of differences around the country. You've got to go to somewhere like Perth. Here's another really extreme example. Even though the proportion of loss-making sales came down a little, we still saw nearly 15% of sales made a loss. And that's simply due to the fact that Perth has gone through this long-running downturn. It started in about 2014. It was only sort of mid-2021 that that market moved through a nominal recovery, which means a lot of those people that bought at the peak back in 2014 are still selling their property for a bit less than what they paid for them.
What about Melbourne?
So at Melbourne, 5.3% of homes were sold at a loss, up from 4.8% in March. So there's only about a 0.5% increase. But we're definitely seeing Melbourne housing prices coming down now, of course, not quite as quickly as Sydney. Since Melbourne moved through a peak, which was back in February this year, the market's down about 5.6%. But Sydney peaked a little bit earlier. It was in January, and the market's down 9% through to the end of September. So definitely seeing a little bit of a worse outcome in Sydney, but that was after quite a bit stronger growth phase. Sydney housing values rose by nearly 28% through the latest growth phase. That added about $251,000 to the typical value of a property. Melbourne, because of all the lockdowns and some demographic headwinds, only saw values, a bit flippantly, were up 17% through the growth phase.
That's interesting stuff. What happened on the weekend with auctions?
Well, the market's actually showing a bit of an improvement in auctions. Still relatively low volumes because we had the long weekend in a lot of states and the grand final, of course. So we saw about 1,600 auctions across the capital cities and a clearance rate of 62%. Which is, go back a month or a month and a half ago, we were consistently seeing clearance rates down the low 50% range. So the past 4 weeks or so, we've been seeing this consistent improvement in auction clearance rates, getting up to around the low 60% mark, keeping in mind average is about 67, 68%. So we're still seeing auctions weaker than what you might describe as normal. But it's interesting to see a bit of an improvement in clearance rates over the past few weeks. It probably means that vendors are becoming a little bit more willing to meet the market, considering what we're now into the fifth month.
Can you take us for a 60-second lap of the map?
Around auction clearance rates?
Yep.
Yeah, so the major auction markets, keeping in mind Sydney, Melbourne and Canberra are the biggest auction markets on just based on the proportion of auctions. So you got a 60.4% clearance rate in Sydney, 64% in Melbourne, 63% in Canberra. Then getting into some of the smaller auction markets, Adelaide is still absolutely dominating. This is a really quite a resilient market. It's been quite strong. A clearance rate of 78% in Adelaide. And then in Brisbane, which is weakening pretty quickly, a clearance rate of 46%. Then go to somewhere like Perth. You only see about 2% of properties in Perth get taken to auction. So it's a pretty volatile auction market. But the clearance rate there was 40%. And there weren't even enough auctions in Tassie to calculate a clearance rate.
Tim Lawless is with us from CoreLogic. Tim, just quickly, the New South Wales government's playing with the idea of doing away with stamp duty, but for first home buyers purchasing a home under a certain amount, but then charging them a small tax. It's probably roughly the same thing. It just means that you don't have to come up with a large sum of money to purchase a house in the first place. Is this a good idea or not?
Well, it's good in some ways. I think everybody acknowledges stamp duty as a lump sum is a major barrier to transacting in the market, particularly for first home buyers. You know, in New South Wales, that's generally adding another $45,000 to the purchase price of your home from the outset. So it's good in the sense that it removes that fairly major barrier of entry. But as you say, it means that you're going to be paying a land tax in perpetuity. And the other downside of it is once you agree to pay that land tax in perpetuity and then you want to sell your home
That's right.
It means you're kind of locked into that and you're potentially minimizing your pool of potential buyers, those who may not want to pay that tax ongoing and would prefer an upfront cost. So, yeah, it's definitely got its merits, but...
Time will tell. Hey, Tim, good of you to share some time with us on this Monday morning. Really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure, Luke. Thanks for having me along.
And maybe we can talk again soon.
Sounds good.
Tim Lawless, CoreLogic, here on The Night Shift on Triple M.